biggest phone in. My name's Adrian Goldberg. Lovely to have you along with us this morning. I want to ask the question, is it time to stop experimenting on cats and dogs? There's a story on the front page of the Mirror today. Horror tests on kittens. It pulls no punches in detailing what happens to the cats, but scientists say there were no alternatives but to test them. So where do you stand? Is it time to ban tests on cats and dogs altogether? Or do we sometimes have to be cruel to animals to be kind to humans? Give me a call, 03453 00956, or you can text me, 81333. Don't forget to start your message with WM. Also in this hour, the demise of the autograph hunter. But which celebrity signatures have you got? And we'll be catching up with the Queen's baton as it passes through the West Midlands on its way to Glasgow for the Commonwealth Games. And I will also be telling you about a fantastic five-star gig that I saw at the weekend in Birmingham. If you want to join in, you can email adrian.goldberg@bbc.co.uk or on Twitter, I'm at BBCWM.
Have your say.
Across the West Midlands, call 03453 00956.
BBC WM 95.6.
So is it time to end experiments on cats and dogs? The Mirror newspaper today details experiments in which cats had their skulls broken and electrodes stuck in their brains, ribs and around their spines. Now, the animals were being used by scientists to understand the human body better. But critics say that what happened to them amounts to nothing less than torture. The director of one campaigning group, Animal Aid, a fellow called Andrew Tyler, said these are, and I quote, disgusting, abusive and medically useless experiments. They have been going on for decades when there are plenty of alternative methods which don't involve suffering and abuse. Now, this comes a week before campaigners are going to be asked by the government to ban tests on cats. One round of three-day experiments at University College in London, 11 cats had parts of their skulls removed. They were paralysed as electrodes and probes were inserted into their brains to measure what they saw. There are also pretty gruesome experiments involving these cats, involving their eyes as well. So when you hear about these kind of things, do you think, well, look, this is just so gruesome, so awful. These cats, these dogs have had nothing to do. They've had no choice in the matter. They've had nothing to do with whether they want to be involved or not. They weren't volunteers. We should leave them out of it. We should find other ways. Or do you think that it's so important that we find cures for some of the worst human illnesses, that if a few cats and dogs have to get hurt along the way, then so be it? You tell me, is it time to stop testing on cats and dogs? 03453 00956. You can text me as well on 81333. Start your message with WM. Let's speak to Ben Williamson. He's a spokesperson for the animal welfare charity PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Hello, Ben. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Good.
Yeah. What do you make of this?
Well, yeah, it's quite shocking. People love their dogs and cats, and when we see a photo of a cat with electrodes sticking out of his or her head, you know, we're obviously going to be shocked. And I think most people would agree that we wouldn't accept thousands of people being submitted to this kind of invasive and dangerous and non-consensual tests every year. So why should we be allowing it with our, you know, beloved feline companions?
Well, the argument would be that we might find cures for human diseases, blindness and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. But we don't condone conscripting humans for research purposes, and cats feel pain and fear just as we do, and their overwhelming natural instincts like ours are to be free and protect their own lives, not locked inside some cage in a laboratory where they're subjected to the kind of abuse and suffering that would be illegal if it took place anywhere else. And, you know, it's not right to do it for the animal kingdom if they can feel this kind of pain and fear just like we do.
Do you believe that if, for example, we could find a cure for Parkinson's disease, and scientists who know better certainly than I do about these things, Ben, that if we could find a cure for Parkinson's disease by experimenting on cats and dogs, would you still say no, we shouldn't do it, even if all those many tens of thousands of people who are affected by Parkinson's disease might miss out on their cure?
Well, Parkinson's disease is horrific, and, you know, Peter wants to prevent suffering of everything, animals as well as humans. So, you know, we want to find a cure for Parkinson's, but testing on cats isn't going to help us get there any quicker. Animals have a different
biology.
Well,
the scientists say it might.
Well, what we need to do is stop trying to find cures for diseases in animals and try and find diseases for cures for diseases in humans. And we'd certainly get there a lot quicker if we looked at what is actually affecting humans and, you know, not trying to experiment on animals which have a different anatomy, a different biological makeup than us, and is actually just wasting resources and time.
Calls from groups like BUAV, the British Association for the Abolition of Vivisection, to ban all experiments on cats and dogs as well. Would you support that?
Well, absolutely. We see over 4.1 million experiments on animals every year in the UK. We don't have 4.1 million cures for diseases like Parkinson's. This is a horrific waste of time, money, and animals' lives. And absolutely, we think we should take an immediate look at what we do and how we do it when it comes to experiments on animals who are, you know, absolutely terrified at what's going on.
What about mice and rats?
Yeah, mice and rats constitute over 3/4 of all experiments on animals, and, you know, from what we know about their biology and their intellect, they have the capacity to feel pain and fear. And, you know, the BUAV did a fantastic undercover investigation last year at Imperial College London, where they exposed horrific abuses such as rats having their heads snapped off with scissors, rats being left over the weekend in appalling circumstances, neglected, and even the Imperial's own ombudsman who looked into the findings said that there was a lack of leadership and these animals were treated terribly. So, yeah,
some listeners, Ben, might have difficulty, though, sort of, even if they're sympathetic to the plight of cats and dogs, might not be quite so sympathetic to the plight of rats.
I totally get that, and I know that, you know, we treat some species as members of family while we eat others by the truckload. But, you know, all animals have the same capacity to feel fear and pain just as we do. And, you know, whilst there might be a neonatal thing with dogs and cats because they look a bit like our own children, you know, they have the big eyes, and that's what makes us, apparently, anthropologists tell us, what makes us feel more attachment to them. You know, we should put all life above the kind of you know, moral arbitrariness that we've now assigned to the animals who we experiment on.
So you'd say you'd put a rat's life above a cure for a human condition?
Well, I don't think it's necessary to have that choice. We're wasting time and efforts experimenting on animals when really we need to be focusing on looking for cures for humans. And we'd do that a lot quicker if we ended animal experiments and started focusing on, you know, the wonderful possibilities of computer modeling and in vitro work. And, you know, the possibilities are endless if we just applied the money in the right direction.
Ben, thanks for your time this morning. Ben Williamson from Peter. Let's speak to Rita in Hales Owen. Good morning, Rita. How are you?
Morning. I'm fine. Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah,
good morning.
Good. What's your thought, Rita?
What do I think of it? Well, to be honest with you, and I heard you say first thing this morning about the mirror. I've not had the mirror, but my blood just simply run cold. I don't think animals should be practiced on, if you like. I mean, I've had a dog all my life, and I'm in my 80s now, and I've got one now, and I would take a bullet for him. He's a Labrador. He's 13 years
You'd
old.
You'd take a bullet for your dog?
I would. I love him dearly.
Well, I understand you love him dearly. I've had dogs.
Rita,
aren't we just too sentimental?
No.
About animals? What do you mean you take a bullet for him? He's a dog.
I know you've got to practice on something, if you like, and I know these diseases have got to be found out and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But not like that on animals. I mean, I love my dog dearly, and he is loved, believe me. He's treated better than a good many children.
I'm sure.
And he's so sensible. We have to spell things. He's so clever. I can see why they use these dogs for guide dogs and everything, and we love him dearly. And the only thing I can say to you, Adrian, all right, you can say mice and rats, all right, they're vermin if you like. Yeah. But nonetheless, they've got feeling, nonetheless. And I think it's so wrong. But what they want to do, if they want to practice, and especially if animals and rats and mice are not the same as the human body, I know that, why don't they use some of these murderers in prison? We're keeping them every day and costing money. They've taken lives. Practice on them.
Rita, thank you very much indeed for your call. 9:15, Adrian Goldberg with you here on BBC WM. Some pretty horrific stuff on the front page of the Mirror today, talking about testing on cats. BUAV, British Union for the Abolition of Vivisection, is calling on the government this week to ban all testing on cats and dogs. Do we not treat animals a little bit too like humans, though? Rita saying she would take a bullet for a dog. I've had dogs. I love dogs. You've got to be a bit warped, haven't you, to say that you would take a bullet for your dog, surely. Is it time to end experiments on cats and dogs? Or are we just a little bit too soft on animals in this country? 03453 00 9956. Give me a call or text 81333. Start your message with WM. At 9:15, let's get the ladies' travel. Lucia Clifford.
And it's looking very busy this morning around the M54. Queues as people try to join the M6 around Junction 10A. That's because of the roadworks along that stretch. They've been causing delays all morning on the M6 South. Coseley, still got a lane out on the Birmingham New Road because of that accident. It's a motorbike involved there on the Birmingham New Road at the Shore Road Junction, causing problems from Dudley towards Wolverhampton with that lane closure. Helsowen on Manor Way, looking slow still there as well. Stop start as you head towards the Grange Road at the Grange Road.
Electrodes put into their brain and probes and all that sort of stuff ought to be clamped down.
Why can't they do what that lady said? Use the lifers. Use them for experiments.
You wouldn't really do that, though, would you, Dave? You wouldn't, because if you were doing that, Dave, you'd be putting the life of a cat or a dog above that of a human being.
Well, I class my cat as a lot better than some humans.
Would you seriously experiment on human beings? Do these kind of bone-breaking, brain-prodding, spine-clamping experiments on another human being, Dave?
Yeah, I would. The ones that have beat old ladies up and robbed old ladies and killed people. Yeah, I would.
Very interesting. Dave in Oldbury, thanks very much indeed. 03453 00 9956. Now, just before we came on air, I spoke to Tom Holder. Now, Tom supports the idea of limited research on animals for experimental purposes. He founded Speaking of Research. They defend the importance of animal research. And I asked him whether he found it difficult, in light of the kind of photographs that are on the front page of the Mirror today, to defend testing of this kind.
Well, I think the Mirror article is somewhat misleading in the fact that two of the main pictures used, one of them is from 40 years ago of smoking beagles, something which has been illegal here since 1997. The other picture is of sound localization experiments in the US on cats, and I'm not sure a fair attack on the important work being done at UCL.
So why would you ever need to experiment on cats?
Well, cats are used in two areas. 75% of the 200 cats we used in 2012 are for veterinary purposes, so that we can ensure that there's safe vaccines and other treatments for our pets, so our pets do not suffer. We need to use those animals in a small number of research experiments. The other area is often for vision, because cats have front-facing eyes and their eyes develop very similar to that of a human. So there's no other really appropriate research method if we want to be finding treatments for childhood blindness, for instance, which was the experiments a few years ago, and other vision defaults that people have.
So you would say then it helps the veterinary sector to treat other animals better, more safely, and it helps humans in the case, for example, of restoring sight loss or preventing sight loss?
I think you're absolutely right there. I think those two are some of the major uses of cats in this country. And the law says that we must try and use other animals if at all possible, which is why cat research accounts for less than 0.01% of all research animals. 98% is mice, rats, birds and fish. And the law is very clear that you cannot use an animal at all, whatever species, if there is an alternative available. Cats do have special protection in this country, along with dogs and primates. I think that reflects how important they are to society. But also, if we do want them to have those veterinary treatments, we must make sure that they have appropriate medicines.
Why do we experiment on dogs?
Again, we use dogs in this country in a very small number in circumstances where they provide a large but useful physiological model. They are very similar to humans. There are times where a rat or a mouse just doesn't have the similarity you need. But in most situations, we are able to use things like zebrafish increasingly.
You will know that there are listeners to this programme who will say, look, they have sympathy for those who lose their sight, they have sympathy for animals who are hurt, but that really we should not be conducting experiments in this day and age on live cats and dogs. There are people who would regard it as utterly barbaric. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say there are a lot of very, very cruel diseases which affect people and animals all around the world, particularly in the UK. I mean, neurodegenerative diseases, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's are becoming increasing problems, and most of us will know people around us who have them. Now, for some of those experiments, you need a more complex animal than a mouse or a rat, and sometimes that will be a dog and a cat. Again, dogs and cats account together for less than 0.1% of research, so it's not very common at all. But sometimes, if we do want to be able to treat the real scourges of humanity, we will need to use those animals.
So there you go. That's Tom Holder, the founder of Speaking of Research. Let's speak to David in Erdington. Morning, David. How are you, my friend?
Morning, Adrian. You're right.
Yeah, what's your thought on all this, Dave?
Oh, my thought is, the people that say they wouldn't harm animals or anything, I'm just wondering if these are the same people that grow them and have a chicken dinner or a slab of meat or something. I mean, I'm against it anyway, but I thought it's a bit good point to bring up, really, I think.
That's an interesting point. So you're against the testing of cats and dogs?
Yeah.
But do you eat meat yourself?
No, I'm a vegetarian. Oh. I don't believe in eating anything that's living. That's just me, though.
No, but listen, David, I think it's a really interesting point. Would you suggest then, I don't want to put words into your mouth, that if people are complaining about what they would regard as cruelty and torture towards cats and dogs in this instance, that they're hypocritical, really, if they eat meat?
Well, you know... I don't need to say anything, I
do. Well, you can do that. That's the implication, isn't it? Is that, you know, I suppose people might draw a distinction, though, between eating animals which they might regard as a necessity, even though as a vegetarian you don't see it like that, and carrying out experiments which are, if you like, optional. You know, you don't have to carry out.
Okay, well, the way I see it is experimental, it's optional. I don't think you should experiment with animals. I think it's silly. Killing animals to eat, I think it's the same thing.
Mm. You think that's optional too? We don't have to do it to survive?
Nope, no way. I don't eat meat. I don't eat anything that's had a pulse.
Very interesting. David, well, listen, very interesting call. David in Erdington. What about that then? So David's saying, come on, if you're critical, as every caller has been so far, every caller has been critical of these experiments on animals and particularly on cats and dogs. What about this charge from David in Erdington that you're being a hypocrite if you then go on to eat meat? Because if we use the argument, we don't have to do these experiments on animals, but we have to eat meat. No, we don't, says David in Erdington, who is a vegetarian. What is the difference? That's the question posed by David in Erdington between eating animals for meat and carrying out scientific experiments on them. I'll throw that over to you. 03453 00 9956. Are we ever justified in carrying out experiments on cats and dogs for scientific research? 03453 00 9956. It's nearly half nine. Let's get Lucia Clifford to update the travel for us.
M6 southbound starting to look a bit better now. We've had delays all morning between 11A for the M6 toll and 10 for Walsall Wolverhampton through the roadworks. It seems
they're preparing for a substantial phase of operational activity.
Lasting effects of it. Also talking this morning about Shane Warne. And I heard my colleague, Noreen Cats and Dogs. Very interesting call from David in Erdington just before 9:30. David said, how can we justify eating animals if it's wrong to carry out these experiments? Because we don't have to do it, then it's also wrong to eat them because we don't have to eat the animals. Has he got a point? 03453 009956. Let's get a word now with our reporter Michelle Dawes. Michelle, out and about. Where are you, Michelle? Round about Alton, are you?
That's right, Adrian. Yes. Yeah. Good morning. I've been talking to people here about this. Some of them had seen these horrific pictures in the Mirror and some other newspapers this morning. And this all comes round about a week before anti-vivisection campaigns are going to be asking the government to just completely ban any testing on cats. But I was putting it to them. Not only, you know, obviously you have the cruelty side, but if we can learn something about trying to prevent a disease, or if we can learn more about the human body, the brain or the eyes, is it justified?
I think it's cruel to the animals. We should just leave them alone. it should be banned, yeah.
It's horrible.
You think?
Yeah, it is. Disgusting. Should do it, should die. What you meant to learn from a cat and a dog? Nothing like a human, is it?
I don't see anything wrong in it, but you see, the thing is, somebody else might.
Yeah.
It's going to improve the situation where people are making tests and everything else. Yeah. They're talking about hearts from baboons now and all the rest of it. So.
I think we should ban